Now, those of you that are more observant among us might have noticed that on the tables there are envelopes like this. And within some of these envelopes are a present. But just like St. Nicholas, we of course know him mainly for the fact that he's one of the archetypes behind Santa Claus, though he was also someone who was very much against people declaring that Jesus was not God. Read it up on Wikipedia if you're interested. But there is a bit of St. Nick where he had a naughty list, and if the kids had been naughty, they got a bit of coal. And for those of you that are on the naughty list, I haven't put coal inside the envelope, but I have put a naughty list sheet in there. So if you want to open up your envelopes, we're going to see who have the presents and who is on the naughty list. If you have one of the presents, someone from your table will need to come forwards because this is part of our memory verse for this morning. So if you've opened up a bit of the memory verse, can you come to the front, please? Okay, some tables are arguing about who's going to be coming up. Okay, so our memory verse for today. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. John 1, verse 5. Shall we say that together? And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. John 1, verse 5. Okay. Thank you very much to my lovely volunteers. Before we move on from that, I thought it'd be good to look just a little bit more at what this verse is trying to tell us. For those of you that have ever looked at the Amplified version of the Bible, it's got a lot of extra words in it, but I thought, while sometimes that can be a little bit cumbersome, with this, it's actually quite an interesting one, because sometimes we never really think about what we're talking about when we talk about the darkness overpowering the light. Now, for those that hadn't guessed already, yes, the light, capital L, we're talking about Jesus here. Jesus, the light of the world, which we'll be looking at in more detail a bit later. But Jesus, the light, shines in the darkness. But then it says the darkness has never overpowered it. And these other options are, it's never put it out. It's never absorbed it. It's never appropriated it. It's never taken it in upon itself. The darkness is unreceptive to it. So the darkness can never get rid of the light. It can never consume it. It can never take it upon itself to be the light. And it can never be changed by the light. The darkness doesn't respond. But the light shines there for all of us. Okay, it's now time for our Christmas Bible reading. I'm going to be doing that in the form of a quiz. I'm going to need two volunteers to come up again, because what I'm going to do is I'm effectively going to be creating, we've just had the election season, the us and them season. I'm going to create us and them again. It's going to be one team on this side and one team on this side. So I need a representative from each side to come up. And in case it helps entice people up, there are sweets available to be won for the winning team. So would anyone like to come up as a representative from each side? See, all it takes is sweets. All it takes is sweets. So we'll take it in turns. And what I want you to do, you're not answering for your teams, you're deciding what your team actually wants to give as the answer. So, the first question for Team A, should warn you, it's a little bit of a long quiz this, but it's the Bible readings, so that's all right. Mary and Joseph were already married when Mary became pregnant. True or false?
False.
It is false. Okay, question two. Mary and Joseph were already married when Jesus was born. True or false?
We're going to go for true. Yeah, go for true, please. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. True. The answer is, it is true. Okay, question number three. Back to Team A. What did the angel tell Joseph? Don't marry Mary. Don't be afraid to marry Mary. Don't marry her, have me. People who listen to music in the 90s will get that one. The Bible doesn't say. A, B, C. How did I manage to have an E there rather than a D? Okay, so A, B, C or E?
B.
Why are you lot answering? You're helping them. You're playing for sweets. Okay, so we're saying
B.
B, the answer is don't be afraid to marry Mary. Okay, question number 4. Where were Mary and Joseph married? A, Nazareth. B, Bethlehem. C, Jerusalem. D, the Bible doesn't say.
D.
D, let's see what the answer is.
I knew that. Was it mad that she looked convinced?
And the vicar didn't think to correct. Oh dear. Okay, back to team A. Question number 5. Where was Joseph's family from? A, Bethlehem. B, Jerusalem. C, Nazareth. D, Egypt. Or E, the Bible doesn't say.
A.
A, okay, let's have a look. It's 3-1 at the moment, so could be a bit of a lead coming. Question number 6. Who told Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem? Was it the angel, Mary's mum, all those in-laws, Herod, Caesar Augustus, or the Bible doesn't say?
Caesar Augustus, I would say, isn't it? D, please.
The answer is, it is D, Caesar Augustus. Declared he wanted to know how many people in the empire. So, we're then moving on. How did Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem? Did they travel by camel? Did they use their feet? Did they have a donkey? Mary rode and Joseph walked? Or the Bible doesn't say? A, B, C, D, or E?
Ooh, that's tricky. It could be one or other. E.
E. The Bible doesn't say. Yeah. For those that are confused, we think it's a donkey because of a song, but the Bible doesn't actually say. Okay, question number 8. What did the innkeeper tell Mary and Joseph? Was it A, there is no room at the inn? B, I have a stable you can use? C, come back after the busy season? Or D, the Bible doesn't say?
I'm going B.
So,
B.
The answer is the Bible doesn't actually say. Yeah. Yeah, I am. I checked the Bible. Okay. Question number 9. Where was Jesus born? A stable, a manger, a barn, a room, the Bible doesn't say. A, B, C, D, or E?
B. Oh. I think it's B, yeah.
Okay, so the answer is so, question number 10. We've been talking about a manger, so for team B, the question is, what is a manger? Is it a stable for animals, a wooden hay bin, a feeding trough, some kind of barn, or an old hospital bed?
C. C, please. C.
Let's have a look. Brings it back to 4-3. So, question number 11. Which animals were present at Jesus' birthplace? Cows, sheep, donkeys, camels. The Bible doesn't say.
We'll go with E.
Okay. Okay, number 12. Need to get this one to stay in touching distance. How many angels spoke to the shepherds? Was it one, two, a big group, none, or the Bible doesn't say?
A? One angel? Oh, yeah. Do we think an angel of the Lord came down? John thinks C.
In fairness, he's put his hand up for all the answers so far.
So we've got A and John C. C.
The answer is... One angel spoke to the shepherds. No more points there. Right. Question 13. What is a heavenly host? Is it an angelic choir? The welcoming angel in heaven? An army of angels? Or none of the above?
C.
The answer is... Okay. It's 6-3 at the moment.
No.
Good news for you. Yeah. There are 22 questions, so you can still catch up. Okay, so, question 14. What did the shepherds do next? Did they go back to tending their flocks? Did they go back to washing their socks? Did they go looking for the wise men? Did they go to find the baby Jesus? Or the Bible doesn't say?
Do you mean next after the angel spoke to them, or next?
Yes, yes, okay. The point that we're in the story. What do they do next?
Okay. Must be D. D? All confident? D, please.
Okay, let's have a look. 6-4. Okay, question number 15. Who saw the star in the east? Was it the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, the wise men, Herod, or the Bible doesn't say?
We'll go with C.
And the answer is... 7-4. Question number 16. How many wise men were there? One, two, three,
D.
Or the Bible doesn't say?
D.
D. And the answer is... Yep. Yep. We know there was more than one because the word used in the Bible is magi, which is a plural. But other than that, we don't know how many there were because the Bible doesn't specify. Okay, question number 17. How long did the wise men take on their journey? Was it up to 2 days? Up to 2 weeks? Up to 2 months? Up to 2 years.
Hands up for D. Yeah, D.
The answer is... It is D, up to 2 years. Question number 18. You need this one.
Yes. You were doing your maths there, weren't you?
You've got 3 questions left. You're 3 points behind.
Okay.
Where did the wise men go first? Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Jericho, Rome? The Bible doesn't say.
B. Jerusalem.
Is that the answer?
B, yes, please.
And the answer is... It is Jerusalem. Yes, they stopped off at Jerusalem first. Question number 19. So Herod's a bit confused, wondering what they're doing there. So he looks to find out what's going on. So which prophet did Herod's priests quote to try and give him some more information on what's going on? Was it A, Malachi, B, Micah, C, Isaiah, D, Daniel, or E, Elijah?
B.
And the answer is... It is. Well, we know where the sweets are going now. Nearly there, though. 3 more questions to go. So, what does Herod ask the wise men to do? Does he take photos of the stable? Does he say to take photos of the stable? Does he say notify the local authorities? Does he tell them to kill Jesus? Does he tell them to return to him? Or does he not tell them anything?
Return. Yeah, D, please. Return to Herod.
Okay, let's have a look. It is D, return to Herod. Okay. Question 21. Last question for this side. What is frankincense? Is it a rare metal, an expensive fabric, a strange food, a sweet perfume, or a horror story?
Hands up for D. Yeah, D.
Okay, let's have a look. It is a sweet perfume. And so, to finish us all off, question 22. What is myrrh? Is it a fancy drink, a delicate tapestry, an oriental delicacy, a tree ornament, or a burial spice?
I would have said E. E, please.
And let's have a look. And so, the all-important who won. Well, wasn't quite as bad as it could have been. Team B with 8 points, yeah. 8 out of 11 there, but the winners were 10 out of 11, Team A. So feel free to share that around. And because it's the Christmas spirit, if you've still got sweets left after everyone's got one, feel free to share with the other team if you want. But I won't force it. So, there we've had the Christmas story according to the Bible. And part of the reason I did that is because very often we can sometimes think about things from the story and be thinking, well, yeah, that's obviously part of the story, isn't it? When actually it isn't. We can often end up thinking about things because of songs that are sung like Little Donkey. And we can often forget what the real thing about Christmas is, and it's coming from the Bible. It's what the Bible tells us about that amazing day all those years ago. So we might have this wonderful looking nativity scene, and it is wonderful. But let's keep hold of what the real important thing is, the story that the Bible tells us. Now, for those of you that are observant, either because you read what it said in the prep before today of what this service was going to be about, or because you've been paying attention to Miller's fantastic backgrounds that he's created, or because you've seen the large number of oranges at the back, we are going to be making Christingles today. Now, I did think, I mean, given my design for today, we could do something a little bit like this. I did have a Star Wars designed one. It had Death Star at the centre, you've got lightsabers for the sticks and everything. It was absolutely fantastic to see. So if you can send a volunteer from your tables, if you can come up and get a plate, it's got oranges for all of you, it's got the cocktail sticks in cups next to it, it's got sweets and raisins to go on the sticks, it's got ribbon, it's got sellotape, I've even got scissors with blunted ends so you're not going to hurt yourselves, to cut the sellotape so that you can then stick the ribbon on. So if you want to have someone from each table come up so you can get your Christingle making equipment. Okay, so I thought it would be good to look into the meaning of the Christingle. Now, some of you may well know the meaning already, but I thought it's always good to go back on these things, even if we do. So the meaning of the Christingle. The first thing we have is the orange. Now, does anyone have a guess, if they don't already know, what the orange represents? The world. The orange represents the world that God made for us. So the first thing it represents is a gift given to us. Even before we were made, God made the world for us. Then we have the cocktail sticks. Who knows what the cocktail sticks are? I've heard a couple of answers there. It is an interesting one. It has sometimes been said to be the four corners of the world, but most of the ones that I've looked at, it's actually talking about the four seasons. the seasons that bring the weather that helps the world grow, which, if we think about it, what then comes next, the sweets, they are the fruit. So the four seasons, the cocktail sticks, have the fruit and the sweets on top, which is the stuff that grows because of the weather that was created on the earth. So the world was created. Weather was created so that things could grow, so that we could eat. Then we have the red ribbon, which is representing the blood of Jesus, reminding us that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us at Easter, so that we could be forgiven for all of the things that we get wrong, for all of our sins. Jesus died to take the punishment in our place. And then finally, the candle, which is the light of the world. The candle represents Jesus, who, as we see in the Bible, he is described as the light of the world. And so we can light the candle, not now. Not now, but when you get home, feel free to light the candle, to remind yourself and those that might look in, they might be reminded as well, of Jesus' birth at Christmas. And the fact that he came to tell us who God is, and also how to live our lives. And I think I can sum this up in four key things. We have a creator God, he made the world, who gives us good gifts, the weather to create the food so that we could eat. He loves us so much, he died for us. Jesus shedding his blood and shows us the way to be with him. Jesus, the light of the world, guiding us, showing us how we should be living our lives. Also showing us that through him is the only way we can be forgiven, so that we can then be with him forevermore afterwards. And so I thought, as effectively kind of the final bit before our last song, we could say a prayer together. And so I've got a prayer up on the screen, the Christingle prayer. So if we say these words together: God of all, we give thanks for the symbol of the Christingle and all that it represents, coming together, light in the darkness and of future hope. May the orange at the center of each Christingle remind us of the amazing earth you have created. May the red ribbon remind us of your love wrapped around the world. May the cocktail sticks remind us of the part we play in your world. May the brightly lit candle remind us of the light you shine into dark places. Amen.